everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are beginning a new message series for this month of November titled Sharing God's Blessings. Sharing God's Blessings. I don't know about you, but before I came into a personal relationship with Christ, those words, sharing God's blessings, would have sounded like a foreign language to me. I mean, I had no concept of what those words, sharing God's blessings, meant at all. In my young life, my unconscious focus was all about me and my happiness. Hello? I didn't think about sharing God's blessings with anyone. It's mine. I've gotten it. I'll hold on to it, and I'll try to get more. That's really what I was thinking about, whether it meant toys or baseball cards or candy. You know, we just had Halloween, and I remember as a kid, you know, Halloween was a big enterprise for a kid. For us, for me and my buddies, the question was, how much candy in one night can one kid score? And I mean, we would actually go to places that we said, man, the candy here was great. Let's shift our masks around and you wear this part of mine and we'll go back. We'll circle around. We'll go back. It was terrible. It was terrible. I'll always remember, though, the year that I walked. It was a little dewy on the ground, and I had a paper sack, and God got to me that year. I didn't realize I had a hole in my candy sack as I'm walking through the neighborhood for half the night. That's probably what I deserved. But what it was about was, how much candy can one kid score? And then after I had it was all about, you know, holding on to it. And I'm going to preserve it. It's mine. I'm not sharing it with anybody. Problem was, I had, you know, six siblings. And I'm the oldest. And half of them weren't in school yet. And they would scurry all over the house, all over my bedroom, try to find my stash. Siblings. Yeah. It wasn't until after I'd come to Christ that the concept of sharing with others or being a blessing to others or that I might give something of mine away to someone else ever really crossed my mind. In fact, the girlfriend that God used me to point me to Christ, the girlfriend who had questions for me about my faith that I realized I didn't have the answers, it was that same girl who helped me to understand that, hey, it is kind of cool. God kind of likes it when you help other people, when you share with other people, when you give of yourself and of your things to others. God bless her. I was a hard case. She had, you know, it was a tough thing she was working with. Well, now that I've learned a few things, I've discovered this, that real joy in life comes from sharing God's blessings. It's one thing to recognize God's blessings in our life, but then to share them with others is a whole new level of joy. One of the reasons why I love coaching upward basketball is because, you know, I used to have some skill. And what skill I have left, I can bring my game onto the court with my little guys. I can show them some of that and have fun with that while I'm pointing them to Christ. Sharing God's blessings. I'll share my basketball blessings as long as I can, I guess. Person who also understood the joy of sharing God's blessings was the Apostle Paul. In spite of incredibly difficult circumstances, Paul discovered the joy of sharing God's blessings. His letter to the church at Philippi is my inspiration for this series here in November. So to give you a little bit of the backstory, Paul was, he was in captivity when he was writing the book of Philippians. Most of the scholars, it was actually the letter of Philippians. Most scholars agree that he was under house arrest in Rome. And this is not what he had imagined for himself. He wanted to be out, you know, spreading the gospel in places far and unknown. And yet he was confined to house arrest. It must have been very frustrating, must have been very irritating for him. He redeemed the time. Here I am in jail, in prison, house arrest. He redeemed the time by meeting with people who came to see him. People would come from different churches or different persons, and he would meet with them. He also redeemed the time by visiting regularly with the guys that were in charge of his overseeing his captivity. He took it upon himself to help them to know that I'm here because of Christ. But let me tell you about who he is and what he's done. And before long, you know, these guys realized, man, this Paul's got a hold of me. So he visited people. He took some time with those who were overseeing his captivity. And the other thing that he did is he wrote letters. He says, I can't be out there with those churches. I'd rather be there, but in so I'm going to write letters. Probably not his first choice. And yet, isn't it like God who took those circumstances and particularly the writing of those letters to make a 2,000-year impact on countless billions of people's lives? Prophet Zechariah reminds us in Zechariah 4:10, he says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Of small beginnings. Well, I guess I'll write these letters. Wish I could be out there. But I'll write these letters and I'll send them to these churches. And Lord, you know, use them. Bless these letters. May they have an impact. Wish I could be there, but this will have to do. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. So this letter to the Philippians has often been described as Paul's letter of joy. Of joy. He mentions joy or some form of joy some 16 times. As he writes this letter, these Philippians from early on had shared in his encouragement and his support, and he never forgot it. He never forgot that. He never forgot them. In fact, Paul commended them for sharing God's blessings. You guys get it, he wanted them to know. You get it. He wrote in Philippians 4:15, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except whom? You only. You Philippians. The members of this church loved Paul and they appreciated the hardship that was his in sharing the gospel and so they supported him early on in their relationship, and they continued to support him through the years. They developed a special relationship over the years. In fact, the saints at Philippi were what Paul called his partners in the gospel. They had this special connection in the work of ministry, and Paul appreciated it. He wrote in Philippians 1, 3, and 5, he said this, I thank my God every time I remember you, Philippians. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? Joy. Because of your what? Partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. These saints at Philippi were partners with him in the gospel. Now, the English word for saint comes from the Latin sanctus. Sanctus. There was a concert that Circle of Care sponsored just a week or two ago, and the group there was Sanctus Real. What does that mean? It means we are real saints. Sanctus Real. I love that name. I caught up with that through this study for this series. Well, the word translated in Greek, this word, is hagios, which means holy, holy or holy one. So in one sense, all Christ's followers are saints, are holy ones. But in another sense, we hate to use that. We hesitate to use that word because we know that our behavior isn't always holy. Amen? We know about that, yeah? We hesitate to greet each other as saints. There has always been, you know, some confusion about what it means to be called saints of God. You may have heard the story about the two brothers who terrorized this town for decades. They were real thugs. They were unfaithful to their wives. They abused their children. They were dishonest with everyone. Then suddenly, one day, the older brother died. And in making funeral arrangements, the younger brother asked the town pastor if he would do the service. And the surviving brother said to the pastor, he said, "I insist that you refer to my brother as a saint in the funeral service." Well, I mean, the pastor, he said, "Wait a minute. I mean, everybody knows your brother. I mean, how can we say that?" But the younger brother told him that there was maybe a $20,000 gift for the church hanging on his decision. And so the pastor, you know, he decided, well, you know, maybe I can find a way. Maybe. Lord help me. So on the day of the funeral, the pastor addressed the congregation with these words. "Everybody here today knows Joe was a terrible man. He was a womanizer. He was a thief. He was a crook, a drunk. But compared to his brother, Joe was a saint." To be a saint in Christ Jesus is to be a holy one. For Paul, the Philippians were saints, were holy ones who were partners with him in the gospel. You know, think about it this way. Saints are often those who make it easier for us to believe in God. To believe in God. In the Protestant tradition, saints are not patrons, they are partners. They don't stand between us and God pleading our case before the throne. They stand beside us, giving us a reason for the faith that lies within us. So through the years, the saints have defended the faith against heresy. Through the years, the saints have affirmed the faith in all kinds of circumstances. The faith that we live today has been delivered to us by the saints of old, those who have gone before us, yes, but also those who live with us today. Saints are often people of faith that we look up to. Hello? They are people who have had a direct impact upon our walk with Jesus. So, who are the saints who have been partners with you in the gospel? Who are the people who have helped you to believe? That is a question that I think is worth reflecting on. When I think of the saints of old who have impacted me, there are some particular names that come to my mind. Of course, you know, there were Peter and Paul and their writing of the letters in the New Testament and their bold witness. And certainly they have been profound impact. But later, as I studied, there was a guy named Augustine who was a rebel in his younger days but turned Christian, turned theologian. He wrote in some powerful ways. Then there was a guy named Thomas a Kempis who was a 15th century monk whose book, The Imitation of Christ, shaped John Wesley. And when I heard about that, I said, I want to read this book, The Imitation of Christ, by this guy, Thomas a Kempis, because it impacted Wesley. And of course, Charles and John Wesley were for me saints of old who impacted me. John, the leader of the Methodist small group movement, and Charles, the guy who provided the hymns, the contemporary music of his day to fuel it. John Wesley would say that his heart was strangely warmed by his faith in Christ, and his theology was greatly informed by reading the works of the early church fathers. Often, saints of old inspire us. Who were the saints of old who might have inspired you? Who were saints more near? Who were the people God placed in your life who helped you to believe, who have perhaps helped you to believe more easily? When I think of saints more near, first of all, there was, you know, my mom and dad. My mom and dad. Now, I know that not everybody has that story, and I certainly recognize that. But for me, my mother and father did have a profound impact. My mother, for her example in prayer. I remember at times getting up early in the morning and stumbling my way into the living room, and there in her chair, quietly but obviously very engaged, was my mother in prayer. And if I was real quiet as I listened, at times I might hear my name mentioned or people that I knew, her witness in prayer. My mother for her prayer, my father for the example of his transformation. As I've shared, the change that Christ worked in his heart was the most compelling cause for my own decision to believe in Jesus. When I saw how this hard shell man, this guy who had a fuse that was about that long, and you didn't want to see the fuse, you just didn't want that to get lit. When I saw God work a change in his heart that took that fuse and made it a whole lot longer over time. And then I noticed a guy that had grown up, he was a military drill sergeant. He had 7 kids. About the only way that he knew how to run the house was how he ran the as a drill sergeant. Well, I saw God over time take that hardened heart and that perspective and just change it. And the change God was working in him is what helped me to see, man, this Jesus who my dad is talking about, I need to pay more attention to what's going on here. Who is he? There were Christian writers like E. Stanley Jones, the Methodist missionary to India. There were writers like C.S. Lewis who penned Mere Christianity and The Case for Christ, The Chronicles of Narnia, when I was young in faith and trying to understand. There was A.W. Tozier, the simple Chicago pastor whose books, The Pursuit of God and Knowledge of the Holy, that I got a hold of, they compelled me into a deeper Christian life. Francis Schaeffer. And his book, How Should We Then Live, gave me a synthesized view of the world, of culture and history and arts and theology. And people like Chuck Colson, the special counsel to Richard Nixon, who went to prison. He's a bad guy, went to prison, but there he found Christ. And he realized, yeah, I've done some things, but God has forgiven me. And here I am with a bunch of other people who've done some things, and God can forgive them too. And he started prison fellowship, and it just impacted hundreds and thousands of people found themselves in prison around the world. But he also wrote profoundly about his relationship with Christ. His writings and other people's writings like Billy Graham and Rick Warren and John Maxwell and others have been helpful in my journey. They're the saints of old, and then there are saints who are more near. Saints of God are partners with us in the gospel. They often make it easier for us to believe, to encourage our faith. We are thankful for them, saints of old as well as saints who are more near. Another thing we understand about the saints of God, saints are people in process. Hello? In process. Philippians 1:6, Paul writes to the saints of God, including you and me. He's including you and me. And he says this. Let's read it together. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Saints are people in process. They are sinners who keep on keeping on. God may see us as holy. He may declare us as holy through our faith in Christ, yet we understand that we are still people in process. Amen? John Wesley, he encouraged the Methodists. He said, go on to perfection. Be ye holy as God says, be ye holy as I am holy. And Wesley says, God wants us to go on to perfection, to strive for all of God's Spirit, to fill you, to empower you, to flow through you. But he also encouraged his people to recognize that we are but works in process. God, who began a great work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Saints are strugglers who are faithful to the end. You have been very blessed if you have examples of people who have lived their Christian life faithful to the end before you. One of the more recent examples in my life of someone who was faithful to the end was Janet Holt. She used to sit in our classic worship service right over here, and she was there every Sunday. Though she entered her heavenly home earlier this year in January, I watched Janet over the years walk by faith and continue to prove herself faithful to the end. Though she had some physical challenges with her eyes that she battled with there toward the end, and she had some other physical challenges with infections that would sometimes come upon her body, I would see, and she had spiritual battles as well. She would say to me, I'm seeking Bob to be faithful here at work. I want to be sure that I'm doing what you need me to do and what God needs me to do. And then she's there at 92 years of age, and she's asking me, and I'm saying, Janet, I what you have been doing, I've seen you do, I know is what God wants you to do. It's what I want you to do. You just keep on keeping on. She says, I want to be faithful here at work, and I want to be faithful at home and with my family. Well, through it all, Janet Holt, if you knew her, about 5'2", just not a very big person at all, but bold in faith and bold in personality, and she was a bold in her fight. I would see her, you know, go through a physical challenge, but man, she would get back up, and she would say, I'm back to work, and let's, you know, here we go. And we loved it. She was a fighter. She was a victor. And I watched her walk by faith and not by sight. She was faithful to the end. Saints are partners in the gospel. They make it easier for us to follow God. They are people in process. And finally, God's saints are person who help carry you through. The Philippians certainly helped carry Paul through. As partners in the gospel, they cared for his physical as well as his spiritual needs with gifts of encouragement and support. They had a special relationship, a holy connection, a bond of love. It started early. It continued through his life. You and I are blessed of God if we too have persons who carry us through life and through life's crises. That's when being part of the body of Christ is so meaningful and so relevant. All of us go through struggles. Amen? Anybody in the house never had any struggles? Raise your hands. You're a miracle among us. All of us have struggles. We weather them best, I am convinced, by being surrounded by some saints who love us and care for us, support us and carry us through. In my own life, I am grateful for all the times the saints of God have helped to carry me through. There was the whole adventure of trying to find a career path during and after college. Lord, what am I supposed to do? And friends in the body of Christ carried me through and helped point me toward ministry. Then there was that whole matter of finding somebody that I might share my life with, that I might be able to share my journey with. And again, friends in the body of Christ helped introduce me to this young girl named Kathy. And what a joy that was. When it came to navigating marriage and then what it meant to be young parents, once again, God had Kathy and me paired with others in the body of Christ to help see us through. When we almost lost Kathy because of a ruptured uterus during Sarah's birth, it was again members of the body of Christ who just surrounded us and comforted us and carried us through. When it came to leaving St. Andrew's Methodist in Oklahoma City, the church that we had planted for 13 years, and coming here to Christ Church 13 years ago now to carry on the work that had been going on here, it was members of the body of Christ from both congregations that helped carry us through. That was probably the most difficult and terrifying transition of my life. But here we are 13 years into it, and with God's help and your help, we have made it thus far. Amen? And now, as we live through, you know, this time of, I've been talking about it, discontinuous change in our world and in our culture, and in these defining times in our denomination, and as we are seeking God's missional imagination to help us to answer the question, what would Jesus do right here in our community? And then what does he want? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want us to do? I'm counting on you and you, members of the body of Christ, this body, coming alongside me and alongside one another and with our arms linked together, helping us to carry one another through. Because why? Because that's what the saints of God do. His holy ones, his partners in the gospel, that's what we do. We help each other. We encourage each other. We care for one another. We admonish one another. So as we are considering sharing God's blessings during this season of the year, this Thanksgiving season, remember this: let us rejoice in all of the saints that God has uniquely placed in our lives. Amen? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty God, loving Lord, we do thank you for your calling to share our many blessings. Yes, because of our relationship with you through our faith in Jesus, we enjoy countless blessings. Your love and your mercy and your grace are wonderful blessings. Your instruction, direction, and purpose for our lives are meaningful blessings. And you have placed us in relationships with other people too, particularly people who have influenced us. As members of the body of Christ, we are thankful, Lord, for the saints of old, the holy ones who have made it easier for us to believe. Lord, thank you for their words, their lives, their examples. And we thank you, Lord, as well for the saints more near, the holy ones who have shown us how to live, have shown us how to grow, have shown us how we can be carried through. We can be carried through our circumstances, this time of struggle, whatever it is. Oh, Lord, we thank you for all the saints, all the holy ones that you have brought into our lives. Help us, Lord, to be those kind of saints for others. Help us to be those kind of holy ones for others. For your glory, for your praise. In Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, amen.